He said, a man came to his church and he was dropping good pepper. You know what they call good pepper in Nigeria? He said, half of all their income came from one man. He said, for the first time, they could plan. For the very first time. In the church, they could plan. Because they were guaranteed that this money would come. He said, but the more the man dropped money, the more uncomfortable he became. So one day after praying, he said, I can't take it anymore. He said, brother, see me after church. He gathered the man in one dark corner and said, talk to me. My spirit is not easy with this money you have been giving to us. And the man said, thank you, sir. I am so happy you asked. Nobody ever asks me. Sir, it is stolen money. He said to him, we steal it. How? I work for federal government. My bosses are in charge of pay for some of these paramilitary sectors. We've blown up the fee. I am the paymaster. So the money is sent from Abuja straight down to us. I take the big chunk. I keep it. Me and my guys, we share it. My friend said, well, so you know how it's going to be? He said, yes, you are going to have to stop. He said, the risks are plenty. It's not only about poverty, it's about my life. He said, but you don't have any choice. I will pray for you, you will be safe. But you can't continue. This man of God said, listen, it was not only that man that suffered. Even he suffered. Because the money stopped coming. But the man is dedicated to Christ forever because a man spoke up. If it's many of us, we start making, you know, what do you call it? Rationalizations. It's the wealth of the wicked. That take it, use it to preach the gospel. There's a scripture I stumbled on a few days ago. It said, a partner with the thief will be destroyed. I think the book of Proverbs. That he that is partner. When I read that scripture, I remember that our friend, once when you were talking to him, that how come you are doing business with criminals? And he said to you, that how else will the wealth of the wicked be converted? I wish I had that scripture. I told him that, sir, the Bible says that he that partners with criminals will be destroyed. If you are the pastor of a church, people walking, they are bringing money, please, when you know them, ask questions. Say, young boy tells you that he's a clerk in a hotel. He comes to deposit 6 million naira as offering. If he did not know, I will excuse you. But you're in a church, he dropped that money inside the church. Somebody should call him, say, sir, where did he come from? Because our prayer is that henceforth, when ministers deliberately overlook such nonsense, their church assembly will suffer the consequences also. That is the word of God. The partner with the thief will also be destroyed. That's the word of God. This corruption we are making us about Nigeria, it can come to an end if all of us pastors gather together and say, in our assemblies, no stolen money. Once we say it, some people will just be afraid. And you know the thing, once we say it, we can't collect, we cannot say the truth. We cannot be declaring from the pulpit that all those of you that are stealing government money, in Jesus' name, God will punish you. You know, they will say, you know, everybody will run. And I said, you see, if you don't want to come, don't come. But once you enter here, the other day, I don't know how this will apply to this, but let me just use as an illustration. One of our brothers, he was a pastor of a church, he told me that there's a man in their church, that the man is a beggar. He's not a thief, he's just a beggar. So he said, what's the problem with that? I'll tell you. He said that the man is the head of their welfare committee. Okay, I gave the story from the wrong end. I will start from the other end. The man owns a house in this town. Big house. He owns a car or two. He's blind. And that is his begging point. When Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? That was why he asked. Because some people that are obviously blind don't want to see. He said he has told this man, he said every time they pray, they bring him forth for anointing. But this point I'm making, and I said to you, is he still the head of the welfare committee because they transferred him to the church? He said, yes. I said, today, as you are looking at me, sack him. He said, yes, sir. I said, go back to church, call him and say, you can never head our welfare committee as long as you're a beggar. Why? Because you are teaching wrong principles to the church. I know you're not stealing, you know. And tell everybody who wants to know. You remove the man from the head. Yes, why? He's a beggar. Can't be a beggar and be held in my welfare committee, especially when God has blessed you enough to stop begging. You've made evil, that is a profession of being a beggar, and you are a deacon in the church. You won't know where the spirit of begging will enter that church from. Everybody there will walk, they won't make any money. No, this is why pastors are committing adultery. They don't know. When they come and give you stolen money, it's adulterous money. Next thing you see a strange woman, your whole body will be getting up. You say, well, what's happening? It's what you have been eating. You have settled down with criminals. They are sharing money. They are tithing to you. You are blessing them. Next time you see a strange woman, your whole system will pursue her. You won't know why. Life is, that's how life is. I don't have time to explain. The every man that's committed adultery is because he loves to commit adultery. Some of them, they've been possessed. You know what they call possessed? Some people, they were good husbands too. One wife. They are like Job. Made a covenant with their eyes. Don't behold. Then they forgot one other covenant. They didn't make a covenant with their hands. Not to take stolen money. Somebody brought them into a cult. They started sharing money. As soon as they began, they did not know that the stealing spirit is a friend to the adulterous spirit. Just hanging out that night. You know, this is working funny ways. He says, contract, we're having meetings. When they come for a meeting, they bring all the, you know, there's what they call a seductive spirit. It exists. It's a spirit. A lot of these girls carry it. And they come and sit down like that, it's resting on their shoulders. As pastor sit down, or man of God sit down, he's rubbing his back. He can't see anything, you know, but the spirit is there. Blowing something on his face. Why? He came to look for money. This spirit is the network. That's why Jesus said, if you cast one out, when next is coming, he brings his friends to make the next casting out ceremony more difficult. That's why. The network. The Lord is good. What am I saying? We are praying for our country. All right? And I'm starting the prayer from things like that. Listen, in this nation. Now, you know, I started by saying that it's what we bind. It's what we lose. All right? If we're losing something, yes, it has started happening. If we bind it in accordance with the will of God, this is the confidence we have towards Him. All right? If we ask anything in accordance with His will, He hears us. And we know that injustice, all right, to God, the Bible said He saw injustice and it displeased Him. Injustice is displeasing to God. So we say in this country, beginning from now, any judge or magistrate that collects money, all right, to release an innocent man, he will end up in his place, in prison, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
His seat, he will lose it.
Amen.
We are releasing these words into the air. Hey, those who enter church, mount pulpit, and take the precious word of God, and decides to twist it for the purpose of collecting money. Lord, don't kill him. Don't maim him. Just remove that pulpit in disgrace from him. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And let your word be pure. Lord, let it be that before anybody mounts a pulpit to lie with your name, fear will grip him. That it will happen, your angels will be stationed here and there. They will say, oh boy, do you want to die? You know why? Because if we don't purify that side, we can't effectively bind on the other side. Don't let anyone who comes out publicly and raises his voice purportedly in your name, Lord, if he lies, we don't want terrible judgment. We just say, shut him up. That's what we are saying. Is that a bad thing? Or shut him up. If he's on television, let him owe. He can't pay. Let them close down his program. If it's a church, let the government decide and demolish it. Amen. Yes, he won't see pulpit again. I'm gathering Christians and taking the word of God. Instead of building them up, you're milking them. Like one of our friends said, there's a man in this town, he does a special program. He said that from that program, he has made a lot of money. And his friend said, what this man is doing is wickedness. Lord, I pray one prayer also. That such people, first of all, you will send them a word of correction. Say amen.
Amen.
For nobody is perfect. Lord, you will send them a word of correction.
Amen.
Yes, tell them that what you are doing is wrong. Like Job said, you will speak to them one way or the other, in visions, in dreams, in visions of the night. Words of a friend. Somebody drops a message for you and says, but listen to what you are doing. It's not correct. You are healing the heart of the daughters of God's people slightly. Saying peace, peace, when you know there is no peace. But Lord, if he still does not repent, then we have no choice but to authorize that you close the place completely in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let it be that anytime your word will be uttered, it will be uttered only in purity.
Amen.
That's what we're saying. This new government, if you still subsidy money, you will vomit it four times.
Amen.
You will vomit it four times.
Amen.
If you don't have the money, you do the jail time.
Amen.
Yes. One word, then you got to bring forth the money. Why am I talking like this? It is important the next generation knows that faithfulness and hard work is the way to progress. There is a trend we see currently in our country. You put a man in power for 3 weeks. In that 3 weeks, he wants to make all the money he can. And he came to power. Father, anybody that enters power because of what he's going to get. Father, disgrace him fast in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Fast disgrace. Let him leave the place. Owe him more than when he came in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
For every naira he makes, let him owe 3 naira.
Amen.
Let it be. That will be like America.
Amen.
That they took a former Senate, the Speaker of the House, he's been indicted. The man is going to jail. Read your news. The old man was arrested a few days ago. He's been indicted for a crime he committed like 10 years ago. And he's going to prison. What? He took his own personal money and paid blackmail. Somebody was blackmailing him. For taking his own personal money to shut the person up, he's going to prison. Why? Because he tactfully skirted the law of the country. Nobody cares as a former speaker. When thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants, they learn righteousness. What we are praying is a simple prayer. That God, this impunity will not continue in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let any government official that overspeeds on the express, let him be suspended in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Fashola used to obey traffic law as governor in Lagos. Who are you? Lagos is the richest state in Nigeria. The other day we were analyzing, they said that Fashola and the government left 400 and something billion naira in debt for the next government. I said, listen, if Lagos is owing 400 billion naira, it's not money. Lagos collects more than that in tax periodically. Yet the governor of that state will get to red light and stop. I don't know whether you're catching what I'm saying.
Yes.
The governor of such a state gets to red light and stop and refuses to blow siren. He sees a queue in traffic, he joins the queue. BRT lane is there. He doesn't join it. Who are you? You're a bloody House of Rep member. You're overspeeding on the express. In the name of Jesus henceforth, you will be suspended.
Amen.
That's where there's lawlessness. That's where there's lawlessness. Lord, what we are praying against is lawlessness. That's what we are praying against. That is what we are praying against. That lawlessness is what we are praying against. So that when they say no parking, because you're a member of the House of Reps, you park there. Oh, I love America for that. They smoke, but in this area, oh boys, they try. They like you to do such things. Your opponents like it. Because they will be taking pictures of it. Chuku, come back and contest next time. They will show he breaks the law. He said, look at all the times he parked wrongly. He was never fined. Why? Influence peddling. That's it. You've lost your seat. But here for us, it's a sign that you're a big man. That you can break the law. We still think that being in power is a sign that we are big men. There's a prayer we are cooking up. In a short while in Nigeria, they will not pay legislators anything more than they pay the DGs. So that if you want to be a legislator, you make sure you want to serve. In serious places, men who have served elsewhere, they are going there to go and serve. You find people who are jobless, become politicians, they give them an office, then that's it. Start oppressing the poor. Father God, every oppressor that takes power so as to oppress. We are praying just one simple prayer, not a big one. We're not saying kill anybody. Lord, disgrace and sack them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's what we are saying. Lord, disgrace and sack somebody. Lord, do it from the top to the bottom.
Amen.
Lord, from the top to the bottom.
Amen.
Cleanse our nation of this bold corruption in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm not a fool. I'm not pretending that everything will be perfect. This is not heaven. This is earth. What we are just saying is that the criminal should hide. The Bible says, no longer will the rogue be called generous. That's what we are saying. You know, there's a scripture like that. That's what we are saying. That it will not happen that somebody, you see a man, he stole money. We don't know what he does. He comes and donates 50 million and community is clapping. That's why your boys are thieves. Because they knew this guy a few weeks ago. He was doing nothing. Then today you are doing lunch, he comes and drops 15 million naira. And you are the traditional ruler. You think your boys will be responsible. They can never be. They will never be. You have taught them, go and steal. Do whatever you have to do. Come home with money. We will honor you. That's the reason why boys don't read. Because what are their role models? The biggest house in the village is built by a corrupt politician. The one next to it is built by a drug dealer. All of them have chieftaincy titles. That community will never produce any responsible man if he grows up there. How will he? Who is his role model? You know, sometimes they tell you that Ekiti State that time, he said that they had the, and still like that, they have the highest number of professors of any state in Nigeria. Ekiti State. Let me tell you one of the reasons why it turned out like that. I'll just tell you a small story, then you get the point. When I was in Lagos, our provost, turned out, later on he became the vice-chancellor. Then after that was he became the vice-chancellor of another university that was started in Ondo State. The man is an academician. He said once, the oba of his town called him and said, we want to give you a chieftaincy title. And he begged the man and said, sir, I don't have money. And the man said to him, we don't care. You are an illustrious son. He did not have a house in the village. So he begged the man, please, sir, people like me, I can't take a title. The Oba said, we don't care. This is your title, we are giving it to you. The man is from Ekiti State. So he begged the man, okay, if I can't refuse it, can I beg for 1 year? Instead of giving me this next festival, give me the following year's own. So the man said, fine. You want a year, you get a year. He was giving us a lecture. Once we had a program, I was MC that day. That's what I remember very well. The resident doctors. He said, guys, that was when I ran to Saudi Arabia to go and look for money. That before that time, he never wanted to go abroad. He said, after that time, he called his friends, please find me work for 1 year. So he ran to the Middle East, found a job. He's a professor of microbiology. Found a job and worked for a year, then came back home with the money and ran home and quickly built a small bungalow and told the man, now I can take the title. Now, you know why I tell the story? That's why everybody there will read. I don't know whether I get my point. Every young boy in that place, if you ask them what they want to be professor. They will read. Because this man didn't have money, he couldn't build a house. Yet, the man in charge said, we will honor you just because you have gone to school. You have excelled in everything that you have done. He had to go and look for work. Do you know what they call work? He ran abroad to go and work for a year. Gathered money to come and erect a small bungalow so that he could host his friends when they would come for the ceremony. you now wonder why every household there has a professor. That is the reason. That is the reason. Because the person they elevate is a man who read his book, is a man who excelled in his business, is a man whose wealth can be explained. But when you recognize thieves, that's the problem with our politicians. One clown in Enugu that time opened a big house. The vice president came. You remember the story? What was he known for? Setting on fire the broadcasting station in Anambra State. What was he known for? Kidnapping a sitting governor. What was he known for? I know nothing about the young guy more than the fact that he terrorizes Anambra and lives in Enugu. Then the vice president comes for his house opening ceremony. Father, may it not happen again in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So that we will never call a rogue generous. It's the reason why I went to my barber. He wasn't barbing again. He was singing, Guru Guru, Jesus loves you. Guru Guru, children love you. Prince hired a vehicle, put at this junction. He said, were you around that day? Felix, you were around. They were singing for hours. Children love you. Women love you. Men love you. Jesus loves you. Holy Spirit loves you. Guru Guru. I said, Prince, what are you doing? He said, Pastor, you have to be prominent. They have to see you. I said, Prince, hear ye the word of the Lord from my mouth. You will get nothing out of this. I dashed him small that day. No, I told him. I said, oh boy, you will not get anything out of this one. I was angry. What is wrong with building your business? You own a barbing salon. He said he has more than one. He has a small barbing school. You can grow from there. The other day, today I was reading the story of Tony Cole, the MD of Sahara Energy. I heard the story long ago. You know how they began to make money? He and his friends were selling shirts in Victoria Island. Shirts, nine the boys they sell. Shirts. It was from where they were selling shirts. They began to hear discussion on oil business. Buy diesel, import diesel, export diesel, get a contract, supply diesel. Ah, they tried. That's how they tried. Started until they became one of the largest indigenous oil trading companies in Nigeria. You are leaving your barber's shop. Why? Because the accelerating power to wealth is politics. Father, I pray a prayer today. All such thoughts and ideas, let them fail.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let them fail.
Amen.
What is my reason? You say, Pastor Banky, why? Because I want people to realize politics is not the way by which you become wealthy. It's the way by which you serve. Politics is about what?
Serving.
Go get a job. Go start a business. Build your career. There was one man, I read the story then in the United States. He won election as governor of a state. Either governor or mayor. Can't remember for sure. He contested against two powerful people. Money bags. People that had money. He was a retired high school principal. And he won. Why did he win? I'd like to tell this story to let you know that it was not because he was wealthy. It was because people believed in him. He had a good record of honesty, integrity, hard work. And of course, you know Nigeria now, crowdfunding is coming to Nigeria too. You know what they call crowdfunding? Put it in online, anybody can donate online. So that's how the man did crowdfunding and raised a lot of money, but not anything close to what his opponents were spending. Then that day, everybody went, voted, and he won. And his inaugural speech, he said, "This definitely has been an experience money could not buy." I remember I saw it on TV then. He said, "This has been an experience that money could not buy." Father, this is our prayer, that men of integrity, you will change the times and seasons, that they will be able to enter office without having to buy their way in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yes, that's what we are praying. That anyone who wants to scuttle their pathway because they have money to go to court, one way or the other, scuttle their own pathway in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we're asking, elevate the righteous.
Amen.
I'm praying, Lord, elevate the righteous.
Amen.
Bring down the wicked.
Amen.
In this our nation.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As our current president begins to appoint people into offices, he has done very little as at now. That tells you it's difficult. It's not humanly easy. Lord, we ask for wisdom for him in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Who will be Attorney General? Lord, we don't know. But let it be a man who wants to speed up justice in Nigeria.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who's going to Minister of Health? We don't have any personal idea. But let it be a man who wants healthcare to improve in Nigeria in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So that Nigerians will stop exporting hundreds of millions of dollars every year to India for healthcare. That's what that man must have in mind for him to enter that office. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who will be the Minister of Defense? It must not be a man who thinks he can become rich. It must be a man who says Boko Haram must end in Nigeria.
Amen.
It must be a man that says that foreign aggressors will not be able to take advantage of us.
Amen.
It must be a man that will say that the soldiers, the military men must be disciplined and well rewarded in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's not a man who will live there and go and build a big house. Let every house built by money stolen from power, let them collapse in Jesus' name.
Amen.
If he will show them mercy, let it be that nobody will be there when it will collapse. But let the mercy not be that it will not collapse. Lie, I don't agree with that one. The only mercy we will accept, Father, is that nobody will be home. But that the house is not coming down, I don't agree. Okay, there's one. If it won't come down, let them sell it cheap.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's it. It must come to pass that in Nigeria, suddenly people realize that some things don't pay. That's what we are saying. In the rest of the world, if you go to a place like the developed country, they say, this is the richest man in this place. Everybody knows what he does. Even if he's at Evander Holyfield, they know who he beat. They know which boxing he boxed. But in our country, that's happened for too long. Man disappears, comes home, becomes something, then goes, builds one gigantic house. I won't mention the name of one governor. They say he invited Buhari to his village. You hear the story? To dedicate a house. Buhari said, is this a new government house? He said, it's my personal. I said, you're a thief. The man looks, it's not the new government house. You know, if you want to be rich, that's what we are praying. You must not be rich by being a government official. That's what we are praying. I have nothing against wealth. Former mayor of New York after Giuliani. Michael Bloomberg was mayor of New York. Once I saw on, I think, Yahoo News, they were playing a game of numbers. Numbers about the man's life. One, his salary annually as mayor of New York, $1. Don't be impressed. He was, at that time, one of the world's richest men. He was worth over $4 billion at that time. They said being mayor cost him a total of like $700 million, money he decided to spend. He renovated the mayor's house at his own expense. I didn't live there. I lived in his own personal house because it was better than the mayor's house. Now you come to work someday to the city hall. Guys, what are you doing? How's everybody? Close. Let's go and eat. Take them to an exclusive restaurant and pays. Sometimes he wants to have a meeting with people. There's too many people waiting. Take the fellow. Come, let's go into my private jet. And they'll fly around while he's discussing. Personal money. Private jet, private money, private places. Do you understand my point? He chose to be mayor on a salary of $1 a year because he doesn't need the money. We have no problem with rich people coming to power. But they come in to serve. What we have a problem with is poor people coming into power. And they come in to steal. No, that must come to an end.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what we are praying against.
Amen.
So that if you want to, look, if you want to enter political office, you know it's sacrifice. Yes, it's sacrifice. That I have to leave my business for the next 5 years, 6 years, 8 years. Will not be the one telling you that don't worry now. After a while you are in power, we'll be paying your wages. And after that, you'll have a pension. These are your entitlements. By that time, you'll come back, you'll still be able to pick up. We'll be begging you. Not that you carry a jobless rogue and put him in charge of order in the society. It's painful. You tell a man, be in charge of town planning, he can't plan his life. The last four businesses he did, they collapsed one by one. So he walks around from house to house collecting money from people, authorizing things that El-Rufai will come tomorrow to demolish. That is what we are against. And I want you to take this prayer home. Next time, maybe we'll pray it better. But you want to establish something. If we all agree on what I have said, do you know Nigeria will change? If we pastors won't queue up and be printing poster to support one's candidate, do you know Nigeria will change? If we don't have 7 billion naira missing, discussing which pastor collected it and shared it, do you know Nigeria will change? You know, we talk billion so much in Nigeria, we don't know how big it is. The other day, I was telling my wife, I said, let me tell you what they call 2 billion naira. Because, you know, you hear it all the time. My children probably think that it's what we spend in ShopRite. No, you know, when you hear a man stole 5 billion, you know, your mind like, ah, come on, it can't be so much money. Maybe he wanted to buy a car. I told my wife, I said, let me tell you what they call 2 billion naira. Many of you know my house. I live in a very nice neighborhood. Plot of land in my area is 20 million naira, all right? It's expensive. It's more than that. If it's 1,000 square meters in my area, you cannot pay less than 30 million. That's where I live. And there are many houses there, big houses, most of them. If you see a small house, it's the one they put down waiting to build the main one. That's where I live. I'm a tenant there, all right? But it's a scriptural. You will live in houses you did not build. I told my wife, I said, you see this street? Yes. I said, you can buy everything on it and still have change if you have 2 billion. Now, in case you don't know, my wife went to school. She's an accountant by training. She works in a bank for about 4 years or so after we married. So she knows money. Yes, when I told her, she said, what? I said, this is our whole street. If I give you 2 billion, you will drive everybody out. Collect the houses from them, and you will still have change. This is what jokers are stealing every day, and they don't want to choke. Lord, except we pray for them, you know, say choking is guaranteed. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What's my prayer today for our country? We are saying that, one, justice, that criminals, they will exist. We can't drive them from the earth until we get to heaven, but they should hide. That's what we are saying. You should steal behind. When I was young, if you wanted to give a policeman money, he would go to your boot, dip his hand inside. What they check, do you have a spare tire here? Then he will drop it, then they will collect it. All right, your spare tire is okay. Okay, go on. Not the one that the guy will do like this, not caring who's looking. That's what we are saying is wrong. It will come to pass that before anybody collects bribe, you will be afraid that you might report. Yes, that's what we are saying. That's what we are saying. Please, I hope you got to my point today. Let me let you go home, because if I continue talking, we will start praying. And if we start praying, we won't finish. But let me say it again. Power will be constant in our nation in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The courts will work in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The policemen will police in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The army, the navy, the air force, all the military forces, they will be equipped to defend the land in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Legislators will make laws, sound laws in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Rulers will reign in righteousness in the country in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Evildoers will be punished in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Evildoers will be punished in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every place where men gather to scuttle good in the land, God will scuttle them in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The gospel of Jesus will have free course in this country in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The gospel of Jesus will make advancement upon this peace background in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We, his people, will live in peace and tranquility in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Can we rise for our feet so we can share the grace? Please, I just feel like saying this. I want to assure you of something. I am not personally angry with anybody. But I want all of us to carry out that righteous indignation. Everybody must be angry against disorder. Even if your brother becomes a commissioner, tell the person, please, in our place, we are praying against evil doing. Brother or no brother, you are not excluded though. What I will pray for you is power to do right. Listen, let's not even think that we will individually profit. You don't want such profit. Do you get my point? If things work well, we will all profit faster. You know, it's interesting. The money, amount of money we spend building fences can build houses. You know that? You go to most developed countries, they don't have fences. The only place that have fences are massive compounds. And they are uniquely rich people. That's why they fence around. Otherwise, the whole neighborhood doesn't have a fence. The only fence between you and your neighbor is just what they call a picket fence. Just short wood. Just to demarcate that, okay, the dog shouldn't pass here. See, the dog will know which one is your own. You go to some countries, you know, this burglar proof we have, they don't know what, they've never seen it before. They say if you go to Kenya, when they see a house that is fenced, they know it's owned by a Nigerian. In our mind, even when we go to secure places, I'm sure if we build in America, we'll still build fence. If our power works, our industries will work. Nigeria, those days, Michelin tires were exported from Nigeria to be sold in Western Europe. Do you get my point? You go to a shop in Germany, in London, you want to buy a tire, it's Michelin MXTE, made in Nigeria. That was where we got to before power scuttled everything and the people closed down shop in Nigeria and went to Ghana. I don't know whether they are still in Ghana. Michelin, Dunlop Elite. Dunlop Elite, you could use it anywhere in the world. I remember that day it was celebrated in the papers when the European Union, economic one, when they approved the exporting of Michelin made in Nigeria into Europe. We can do things, so. I'm telling you, we can do things. When Nigerians go abroad for treatment, they see Nigerian doctors or Ghanaian doctors. But our people there are there operating. When Indians, why do we go to India these days? It's simply because Indians were in the US, they were in UK. After they finished getting the experience, they packed their things and went home. Open the hospitals there, and they give you the same thing at 10%. Americans go to India now to do heart surgery. Because you go to India, you pay $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. In America, your insurance has to cough up to $50,000 for the same procedure. The same Indians that were doing it before in America, they're now doing it in Mumbai. Who said we can't do such things? We will do it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I said we will do these things in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm a doctor, I know what I'm telling you. Now to buy equipment, I have power to run it. It will happen because you and I are praying.
Amen.
That's why I talk the way I talk. The problem in our society is unnecessary. The only reason why it exists is because human beings are selfish and they are wicked. And we cannot continue to tolerate the selfishness and the wickedness. If God has given us the power to pray and stop these things by prayer, we will continue to do it. Even though some of my prayer may sound harsh, I have no choice. That's the only way to go forward. Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.